There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the hour. Still looking for Dalton. Nobody has given me if they agree or disagree with my promo. I looked at the shirt label here, and it says Relaxed Fit. This shirt I'm wearing right here, this the blue checked kind of warm weather, like vented back shirt, you know, mm-hmm. the summertime shirt you get. It said Relaxed Fit.
See,
is that the new PC term for husky?
Could be. I thought it meant that it was 70% CBD oil. It was just a very, very relaxed t-shirt.
It's a wearable CBD?
Right. Made of hemp.
So right. maybe that's it. Maybe it's, I took it the wrong way. I said maybe they're kind of trying to say husky without saying husky. Relaxed Fit. Like folks, you know what I'm talking about, and mostly guys, I don't think they would dare put anything called Relaxed Fit on women's clothing.
No way.
So dudes, y'all know what I'm talking about when you see Relaxed Fit. Does that mean husky, or is it just like a...
I think you're probably right.
So
it's like the new husky. Like 50 is the new 40.
Right.
Or 40, yeah, 50 is the new 40 and relaxed is the new husky.
So now basically my shirt says husky. That's good. I've accomplished something. Yes. It's a circle right back around. New word, same meaning. Hey, I was mentioning that yesterday morning and this morning, watching what's been going on over in Fairhope. Heck, that's been a story for months and months and months now, if not more. And the best job I've seen deconstructing this is the work Gabe Tynes is doing over at Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com. And lucky for us, he joins us right now. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How are y'all?
I'm relaxed. I'm Relaxed Fit.
My entire wardrobe is relaxed.
So I think it's the new husky. I really do. I think it's the new husky. Hey, help me here. I want to actually start with like kind of the breaking news on this, and then maybe we'll work in reverse here to kind of set up the players, because I've been inundated with emails from the actual players in this and people in the Fairhope area and in Baldwin County saying, are you looking at this? Are you looking at what's going on in Fairhope? And you see this post from Mayor Karen Wilson from yesterday about this council meeting and properties and sold properties. And what is this all about?
Yeah, so the most, and this has been sort of a constant situation in Mayor Karen Wilson's first term. She does have a different kind of leadership style than the previous two mayors, who were very long-term mayors. But most recently, this past council meeting, there was an argument over a proposed property purchase for future parkland, and also about pay raises for elected officials, and that includes the council and the mayor.
And somebody was talking about the amounts here, what the pay raises would be going forward. What are those numbers?
Okay, so the city council is kind of nominal. It's not very much at all. They're already one of the lowest paid councils, and they may be the lowest paid council in Baldwin County at $9,600 per year. I think they approved the raises for themselves, or I shouldn't say for themselves. They will go into effect in the next term. They don't go into effect immediately, and those are just $200 a month, and there's a smaller stipend available for the city council president, who has some additional duties as well. The mayor's salary was increased somewhat substantially from $32,400 to $85,000. And I think the city council in that case acknowledged that it is a full-time job for her. All of these jobs are classified as part-time, and a change to full-time would require a constitutional amendment or some type of legislation, from what I understand. But the contentious, there's a couple of issues with that. One is that even in their part-time capacity, even if they do, council and mayor do work full-time, they are also entitled to participate in the city's group insurance plan. And it is a little known fact, I think, among a lot of people that the city of Fairhope has historically had a very liberal insurance plan for its employees to use that term. But
like how much, like you're talking about how much the city pays of your insurance?
Right. Well, it's essentially a free plan. If you enroll in the plan, your entire family benefits without a deductible, with a very low or no copays in a lot of instances. And that's awarded to every full-time employee and the council and mayor as well. And I think after Mayor Wilson came into office, she did push to have that changed, and it was amended so that new full-time employees have to participate in a different plan where they're not awarded that free family insurance. But it's still, from what I understand, a very competitive plan. But her problem was that it is costing the city, several thousand dollars. What she said was anywhere between 55% and 65% more than what the council is being paid, and they're really not disclosing that as part of their compensation. And that's she used the term lack of transparency when they were discussing that agenda item, and the council pushed back a little bit. They acknowledged, of course, that they are entitled to that plan, and the mayor said that there is 100% participation in that plan. But there was no discussion to change that option to remove themselves from that program. And they passed the raises for both the mayor and the council.
All right, we're talking to Gabe Tynes from Lanyap and talking about what's going on in Fairhope. I'm reading your story and talking about this insurance and asking, for some changes to insurance. This is kind of what happened everywhere else in municipal governments, right? In what was it, 08, 09, things like that. I mean, this went across the country. Some places got bellied up over it.
Sure, and I think that's part of her concern. I don't know if there's the city is pretty they're pretty stable financially. They just went debt free earlier this year. I don't think there's a concern about bankruptcy or anything, but she has used the term that it's not sustainable, and you will not find a similar plan in any municipal government around here that I'm aware of. And certainly not in the private sector.
You wonder, there's always the talk of people from Baldwin County coming to work in government in Mobile. But it seems to be what you laid out the deal there for Fairhope. There had to be some people heading eastbound across the Bayway in the morning to go work in government. I mean, it looks like it would be appealing enough if you're going to do the job in Mobile or do it in Fairhope. This was probably a pretty good move to try to get to Fairhope.
Yeah, and I don't know the history of the insurance plan. It's one of the things I'm looking into. But obviously, it's a great benefit to have, even if it's not sustainable. I think maybe it has built to its credit some very loyal employees over the years, so who are very dedicated to their job, even if they're not paid at a rate that may be similar to other municipalities. That's kind of a hard benefit to dismiss or ignore.
It's huge. All right, can you hold on for a second?
Absolutely.
All right, we're coming right back. Go to the break, come right back. Gabe Tynes with Lanyap, our guest right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
break. By the way, too, a big, robust discussion of relaxed fit shirts going on the text line. And I appreciate that at 343-0106. Also, the call-in number to be part of the show today. Now, continuing our conversation with Gabe Tynes from Lanyap. And talk to folks, too. New issue of Lanyap. What are they looking for here?
Yeah, so the cover story of the Baldwin edition this week is about the September 17th tax referendum that both the city of Fairhope and Spanish Fort are facing. That's going to be a 3-mill tax that people within those feeder patterns, not just the cities, the city limits, but within those school feeder patterns will have the opportunity to self-impose to raise extra money for education programs within those schools in Fairhope and Spanish Fort. I've also got a follow-up to a story about state parks. I know you're a fan of state parks, as am I. This is a story that I initially wrote in July. It has to do with the Gulf State Park, which was recently reopened last November and has a new management company called Valor Hospitality. I requested the contract between the state and Valor Hospitality earlier this year for the management of Gulf State Park, and it was provided, but many substantive portions of that contract were redacted, and I'm still trying to push the state to open that contract and let us see exactly what the financial terms and arrangements are between the state and the contractor to manage that facility. And that's a 22-year contract, so I think it's kind of important that people know the terms there. It's also a one-of-a-kind contract, but that's in the paper this week.
I remember talking about that back earlier this year, like you said, July or maybe earlier. Did the state, have they given you a reason why they redacted those portions? They say we redact them because of this?
Well, they say there's some proprietary information in there that would be detrimental to the public interest to release. They claim the release of some of that information may not make the lodge facility there competitive in the local marketplace. I don't know whether to believe that or not, but it certainly wasn't mentioned anywhere during the bidding of this project, during the legislative establishment of this project, that any such resulting contract would be exempt from state open records laws, and that's what we're being told in retrospect.
You catch that in the new Lanyap, and we'll probably talk about that going forward. Hopefully you do get the state folks to unredact or answer some of those questions going forward. I'm looking at the text line. A lot of people asking questions about the conversation we opened with here and what's going on, what went on in Fairhope this week. And KK here on the text line says, what was the benefit y'all were discussing about Fairhope? I joined the conversation late. So the benefit, lay out again kind of the mayor's salary and then this superintendent of utilities. Break that down again.
Okay, and again, the council was the explanation that they provided this week is that they wanted to approve these new salaries ahead of election season and prior, and they aren't instituted immediately. They will be in effect for the next council and mayor, but they did want to go ahead and get those passed. Meanwhile, the city has contracted Auburn University to do a salary and compensation study, the results of which are pending, and that includes pay for the mayor and city council. So Mayor Karen Wilson was asking them to delay the passage of this while the results of that study come in. But essentially what they did is approve a pay raise for the mayor from $32,400 to $85,000 per year, and pay raises for the council from $9,600 per year to an extra $2,400 per year, and a little more for the council president. Meanwhile, they kept in a provision that allows the mayor to collect an additional $60,000 for serving as the utility superintendent.
That's double. We always hear that talk about double dipping. Isn't that double dipping?
That is the exact term that Mayor Wilson had used. It has been a salary that the previous mayor, Tim Kant, took advantage of to serve in that capacity. Wilson did not believe she was qualified, or at least believed that other people were more qualified than her to serve in that capacity. Fairhope has substantial, you know, it provides all its own utilities, water, electric, sewer, and she chose to put that $60,000 into a separate salary for a superintendent, who is a certified engineer.
Help out a West Sider like me that watches this, but you know, that wants to understand it better. This split between the mayor, Karen Wilson, and members of the council, is it the entirety of the council that seems to be, you know, at odds, or the mayor at odds with them, or is it certain members of the council? And what does this go back to?
Well, it goes back to, you know, her first week in office, I think. You know, as I mentioned, she is a different style of leader, you know, it's her prerogative as the mayor to be responsible for staffing, for writing the budget, for her ceremonious duties, and then she also has some additional duties as a member of the Eastern Shore MPO, and as a member of the Restore Council as well. But you know, she came in hot. She made some changes that a lot of people didn't agree with immediately. She did some things that maybe people didn't necessarily approve of, throughout it all, Council President Jack Burrell has kind of served as a polar opposite to her politically on a lot of issues that they don't agree with. I think that she has a better relationship with some council people than others. You know, there are certainly some that have expressed that they're able to communicate fairly openly back and forth. The council and the council president, Jack Burrell, and Wilson certainly don't see eye to eye very often at all.
When does she face re-election? When is that?
Okay, so this election will be coming up next year. I think it'll be piggybacking on the election cycle begins again next year, and from what I hear, other people have already are considering throwing their hats in the ring, even if they haven't announced a campaign. But I think you'll also see some challenges on the city council as well.
So there may be competition on both sides. I mean, the mayor's going to face somebody who wants that job, as well as the members of the council. It seems like we're setting up for a battle royale for Fairhope. I mean, that it used to not be this way, I didn't think. Well, heck, you had mayors that were there forever in Fairhope before Karen Wilson.
Right, yeah. And, you know, and I don't know whether to credit social media or discredit it. There is an awful lot of misinformation out there, and it's kind of hard to read and frustrating to follow along with sometimes when there is so much information. But, you know, with every one of these issues, it gets posted on some Facebook page, and there are several for the city of Fairhope and communities there. We need to fire so and so. Can't wait till the next election, I just don't know if we'll ever, what frustrates me the most, Sean, is that a lot of people are not very engaged day to day. You go to these city council meetings week to week, and they're not very widely attended. And then when a hot button issue comes up, a lot of misinformation gets out, and it sort of takes on its own life. And I know that's pretty frustrating for them as well. If people want to change things, I think that they have to be engaged, and that's not a part-time job either. That's something you really got to commit and dedicate yourself to.
Well, we're lucky to have the reporting y'all are doing with Landyap to help us out and give us the direction and the facts and things. Once again, new issue of Landyap, and that's out on streets now, and people can go online to remind them how to do this, how to get signed up.
Yeah, absolutely. Check out our website. It's lanyapmobile.com. You'll see all of our an option to subscribe there. And you have our paper and then some extras on there as well. We post news there daily.
Good stuff. As always, man, I appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon.
You bet. Thank you, Sean.
There you go. Gabe Tynes with Lanyap. Just saw this come across the wire, too. T. Boone Pickens, energy man, right? Texas energy man, dead at age 90, 91. They said he died of natural causes in his home. So T. Boone Pickens has passed. News just coming out in the last 5 minutes. All right, 1:30, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1:37, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. Do a check-in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry on this Wednesday. And we got to talk some precious metals, man. What's going on with gold and silver?
Well, I think they've stabilized right now. I know the last few weeks we watched gold and silver both shoot up, 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 up. And silver hit almost $20 an ounce, which is the highest it's been in a long time. And it's actually settled back down, and it's right around $18 an ounce right now. And so, to me, I think it hit the bump, it's re-leveled off, and if you're thinking about doing some shopping, I think it's a pretty good time.
Yeah, I say this each time because I think it's worth doing. As new people hear us talk about this, something you taught me or pointed out to me years and years ago, gold, people think precious metal. I mean, you ask 10 people on the street, precious metal, they'll say gold. Right, that's going to be their gold, 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 gold. But silver has had a better growth over the last, well, at least since I've been watching it, than gold. It's got a little more room in it.
Well, it really has, and people don't realize that. They don't think about it. But shoot, from last week to now, I mean, silver was almost 20, now it's 18. That's a 10% drop. So, again, if you had bought it right, that would have been a 10% increase. You know, for gold to do that same thing, it would have to jump up $150 higher than it is right now, which would have all sorts of people excited. So if you really want to make some money or watch that money grow, silver has a whole lot better potential. Just look at the percentages on a dollar buy. Don't look at it as an ounce-to-ounce thing. It'll confuse you.
And what's nice is getting that education at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, just like Angelo taught me. I mean, folks can just walk in, Angelo, and look at the spot price, ask what that is, talk about the metal. You give them an education before they buy anything, if they buy anything at all.
We really want to give our customers an education before they start spending money. That's why we talk about this all the time with you. That's why we do the radio show, you know, with you on 106.5. We want customers to understand what they're doing and what they're getting into before they spend the first time.
All right. Once again, you can, of course, check out the radio show on Tuesdays, or you can go see Angelo in person. Give him directions.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. They can always call us at 725-1590 or go onto the website, mobilebaycoins.com, and you can check out the podcast there as well.
Good stuff. Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Also, heads up here, the forum on that Fairhope property tax increase that we're talking about with Gabe Tynes in the first section of the show, the first two segments of this hour. The Common Sense Campaign has their forum on this tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at the Fairhope Library. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Fairhope Library, and we'll remind you about that tomorrow as well. But if you're liking to plan ahead and do stuff like that, that goes on tomorrow. All right, and speaking of things coming up and later on this month, it is a chance to come out and help a great charity, of course, the Salvation Army, and listen to Terry Bradshaw speak. Event coming up September 25th, and Mallory Briggs in to talk more about this. Thanks for being here.
Hey, yeah, it's good to be here.
So this is a fundraiser where we come out and we get to sit down, eat a luncheon, and hear Terry Bradshaw tell us some football war stories, or what happens with this?
Yeah, so this year we've got Terry Bradshaw. Last year it was Deion Sanders, and the previous years we've had Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson.
Oh, just a bunch of no-name people.
Yeah.
That's a pretty awesome lineup.
Yeah, so we're excited about Terry this year. Last year we raised over 118,000, meals to donate to the homeless in Mobile. So
that you serve in that many. How many meals do you serve in a year?
Last year was over 118,000.
And that is that through the facility downtown, or is that throughout different places in Mobile? How do you do that?
Yeah, so we have different places in Mobile, but mainly our Dauphin Way Lodge is the one on Dauphin Street, right, where we take in, we give homeless people breakfast in the mornings. They can come in and kind of go through the lineup, so.
What do you see the need being here? I mean, it's obviously that many meals. There's got to be a pretty intense need.
Yeah, there's a big need. I mean, we do more things than just give meals to charity. I mean, to homeless people, like we do emergency housing for families in need, overnight shelter for the homeless men. That's on Dauphin Way Lodge. Emergency disaster relief for hurricanes, things like that.
It's kind of something Salvation Army y'all are famous for.
Right. And, you know, we do that drug and alcohol rehab and holiday meals and a lot more, so.
Yeah, think about it. It's good to hear about the other things because we think about the reaction after a disaster.
Right.
And then we think about what y'all do around the holidays. Those are two things that are, the media, me included, that's when we're talking about y'all. But y'all are working 365 to help people.
Exactly. We are. And, I mean, this is our biggest fundraiser of the year. I mean, we have a couple other, you know, side hustles, if you will, but this is our main fundraiser, so it really is crucial that we start selling tables and tickets to this event. So.
Okay, so if somebody's listening to us, said, yeah, I'd like to go hear Bradshaw speak, this is cool, I'd like to take out people from the office, kind of walk us through what somebody who's listening to us right now, Mallory, needs to do to get a table and be out there.
Yeah, it's really simple. If you want to just look into getting tickets or tables, you just text TSA Luncheon to 91999.
Okay, we're going to have to, and we're write that down, too, so people could, so
TSA Luncheon to 91999.
Okay.
Three nines.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
And is that information on a website or a Facebook page?
Right, it'll take you kind of directly to our link to purchase tickets or tables, and then if you wanted to do even more and become a sponsor, that would be TSA Sponsor at 91999.
Okay, so once again, somebody riding down the road right now, they're going to keep their hands on the wheel. We're happy that they're doing that. When they get back to the office or the house or whatever, if they Google Salvation Army for Mobile, is there a way to get this information you're telling them right now?
If you just Google Salvation Army of Coastal Alabama, you can get to their main site and be able to kind of navigate from there. But we do have you can purchase tickets on site.
Okay. And this event, September
25th.
Okay. At what time?
So you can buy VIP tickets and be able to meet Terry Bradshaw at 11:30. And then it opens to everybody else at 12.
And so we're going to sit down with a table of folks and I mean, with the lineup you've already had the sports stories are going to be fantastic.
It's pretty awesome. I started working with Salvation Army a couple years ago, and I went to my first luncheon with Bo when Bo and Herschel were there, and it was...
Nice introduction.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I kind of jumped into Salvation Army with that.
What brings you into Salvation Army, working with Salvation Army?
It was actually, I started volunteering at the kitchen on Dauphin Way Lodge to help feed homeless and the men there that are in, you know, overnight shelters. So I started volunteering, serving breakfast in the mornings for a Lenten thing, not Catholic.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, I wanted to do more, so... got on the board and started
doing
the most good.
See, it's doing the right thing that you do during Lent became a calling.
Yep. I love it.
It's funny how it works, isn't it? Okay. So once again, Salvation Army of Coastal Alabama.
Yep.
If people Google that, they'll get the information. Of course, we're running those messages here at the station with the information as well. But time is right now. I mean, this is coming up September 25th, so people need to get moving to get their table, get their tickets.
Right. And it's downtown, pretty convenient.
Yeah, where's the...
It's going to be at the Riverview.
Okay. And so this is something y'all need to go ahead and put this on the calendar. Go to your... Get your tickets. Go to your phone. Block that out.
Right.
You're not going to be... You're going to have...
Don't want to miss it.
No, you could take friends to this thing. You could probably take clients to this thing.
Yeah.
This would be a nice thing. Hey, I'm going to make clients come with me. We're going to go hear Terry Bradshaw.
Yep. That's okay. what my first year with Herschel and Bo, that's what happened to me. I was sitting with some clients. So.
See, it makes sense. I was on to something. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your commitment to our community, and thank you for bringing this message to folks.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right, 146. Coming right back to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll wrap up today. Of course, discussion of this solemn 18th anniversary of the attacks of 9/11. And also, I think a pretty interesting question that maybe we can dig into more on tomorrow's show. But it is a question of, would we, the people, support a Bill of Rights today? Representative James Clyburn says there would be strong support against the Bill of Rights if it came up today. We'll go through that article and roll some of that out and get your opinion when we come back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
And this segment of Midday Mobile brought to you by Relaxed Fit Clothing. Just all of it. All of it. The new Husky. Thank you for that. That's pretty good discussions about Relaxed Fit versus Husky over on the text line. Text line's the same as our phone line, 343-0106. You can chime in over there. All right, I want to roll this out, and I think this warrants probably further discussion. I have a feeling this will catch on. This will be cable news talking head show fodder coming up tonight. If not, it should be, because I think it brings up an interesting discussion. So Representative James Clyburn, out of South Carolina. Here's the headline from Washington Times. Says, Representative James Clyburn, there would be strong support against the Bill of Rights today. Provocative, huh? Interesting conversation here. House Majority Whip James Clyburn said Sunday that he doubts the Bill of Rights would survive a vote in today's political climate. I really believe sincerely the climate that we're in today, if the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the United States Constitution, were put before the public today, I'm not too sure that we would hold on to our Bill of Rights. That's from the South Carolina Democrat who told that to MSNBC on Sunday. You know, Mr. Clyburn, I'm pretty close to agreeing with you. I would hope not, but I can see where you make this commentary. Clyburn goes on to say, especially when I see what people are doing with the Second Amendment and no telling what they would do with the First Amendment as well as the others. Dave, is it Gura? David Gura responded, MSNBC's David Gura responded by calling Mr. Clyburn's comments startling. Do you really believe that? Asked the interviewer. Absolutely, said Mr. Clyburn. Said there would be strong support against the Bill of Rights. Go through the Bill of Rights, and I'll tell you, I run into people every day who would like to see so much of those guarantees uprooted. End quote. Mr. Clyburn, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying, Senator, a lot. Clyburn made the remarks while defending his support for the controversial 1994 crime bill, which critics argue has disproportionately targeted low-income and minority communities. Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren has proposed repealing the bill, but Mr. Clyburn said Sunday that throwing things out is not the American way. Listen to what the Democrat senator says here. And you want to talk about truth coming from, just take it where it is. Don't worry about if there's R's or D's behind people's name. Listen to, this is truth. He said, I don't agree with pulling things up by the root, he said. You don't tear stuff up in order to improve on it. We don't start over in this country. We correct our faults. That, Mr. Clyburn, have you considered leaving the Democrat Party? Have you really, you look at where the rest of the party goes? That's way too logical. Way too logical for the Democrats, at least the Democrats that are vying for the presidency. So with that being said, do you have any opinion on that? Do I think that it wouldn't pass? Probably not. But does Senator Clyburn bring, Representative Clyburn bring up a good, yes, he does bring up a good point. Let's go down through this, okay? He mentioned the First and Second. Let's do that. So the First Amendment, right? Freedom of speech. Look at the cancel culture of today. And it's, while it's mostly the province of extreme liberals and people who are Democrats, we just saw what happened here with the chancellor at the University of Alabama, right? Or the dean, not the chancellor.
cancel culture works both ways. We're gonna abridge your freedom of speech. We are going to make you, if you speak out, you're gonna be shunned. You're gonna be, and once again, there's a difference in having a private business fire somebody for freedom of speech and government punishing somebody for speaking out. Okay, Second Amendment. Huh. Do I need to go any further? The number of people, look at the number of Republicans, look at the Republican president of the United States who will talk about limiting Second Amendment, right? Let alone all the people that would like to limit it a whole lot more with the Democrats. So the First and Second Amendment, I got to agree with Representative Clyburn. There's a whole bunch of people that would want to limit. There's a whole bunch of people that want to limit any speech that is not what they want to hear. And that, y'all, a pox on both houses on that. A pox on both houses. Yeah, how many times I'll have somebody who's on here who has a liberal take on something, and I'm enjoying the conversation with them. May disagree with them, but enjoying the conversation. I have people text in furiously, keep them off the air. Don't let them speak on the air. What is that crap? How does that help anything? You think everybody's so weak-minded they can't hear a different opinion without having their mind turned? Now, I don't think people would have the Third Amendment. I don't think it's going to be an issue, of course, with quartering soldiers in the House and all that. All right, let's see. Let's go to the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to secure in their persons, house, papers, effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. We deal with this every day. People want to have, people can search this when they want to or go there. And I mean, this is the stuff we deal with snooping from the government, NSA, these kind of things. This is, people would give that up. So, I mean, you can go down here and there's some of them that, probably wouldn't be a challenge. But there's, I would say, maybe half of the 10, 5 out of the 10 in the Bill of Rights. I think there would be a lot of people lined up to not vote for them, to oppose them. If the Bill of Rights were coming forward today in front of this political climate we're in now, I think you would be surprised the number of people would come up and say, well, no, we can't have that First Amendment thing, just have people saying whatever they want, that I disagree with. I don't want to hear that. They shouldn't be allowed to say those words. Second Amendment, they can't have. People can't have guns. Of course they can't have guns. I mean, just think of those first two, the people that would line up. So I think that was a pretty, obviously is very provocative, what Representative Clyburn said, but I think it was well-timed and brings up a good discussion. After it gets chewed up by cable news networks tonight, we'll talk about it again tomorrow. We'll keep chewing. We'll masticate on it, right? I said masticate. Right, 158. Probably good for all of us, and I'm out of here. Be back tomorrow morning at 6 for Mobile Mornings. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.